Minnesota Timberwolves fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast. We're getting closer and closer to being able to pivot off that name. Man almighty, a sweep. I mean, who would have guessed it? It was all doom and gloom on our last show. If you look at, you know, what everybody was saying in the media, locally and nationally, those three games that they had during the regular season, it didn't look like, it looked like it was going to be a tough one, man. It looked like a game six, game seven series for sure. Like, I'm still shocked that we finally got a sweep. And it had been fine at 4-1, whatever, who cares, right? We won the series. Unbelievable. So, you know, let's talk about it, man. We're going to talk about it, obviously, go into detail in game four and game three a little bit more. We'll kind of breeze by game one and game two, just because, you know, they happened so long ago, it feels. But, man, we assume Denver's up next. But to be fair, you know, if Murray didn't, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda, but if Murray didn't hit that buzzer beater, that's a 2-2 series right now. Those first halves and a lot of the third quarters have gone the Lakers' way. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah, so we're going to break it down, and then we will preview as if we're going to play Denver. Okay? We're going to play, we're going to preview it like we're going against Denver. We'll see exactly how that goes. Maybe we'll get another, you know, maybe the Lakers can get another win. Who knows? They win two in a row, they may get hot and push it to seven. But, you know, so we'll do it. We'll recap, we'll preview, we'll predict all that good stuff here on the show. If this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Ropeadope and download the show directly there if you don't want to. You can find it in a variety of places under Ropeadope Radio on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. You can download the podcast app, Player FM, Google Podcasts. Check out the Spricker page, Living in Loserville. And also, Spotify. If you're on Spotify, check it out, Living in Loserville. Make sure you check it out on Spotify. While you're at it, head on over to thegruelingtruth.com and Sports News 24. One more quick thing from DirecTV Stream. It's playoff time. See the buckets and goals that will crown champions all on DirecTV Stream. You can still save $30 as we speak. Also, with the MLB kicking in, you get the home field advantage. DirecTV Stream carries the most local MLB games, so play ball for a limited time, $98.99 for the first 3 months. And just adding the sports pack, first month of DirecTV Sports Pack is on us. If you sign up right now, that's a savings of basically $15. Choose the DirecTV streaming package that's right for you. No annual contracts, no hidden fees. That first package, the entertainment package, plus the sports pack right now, $84.98 for the first 3 months on DirecTV Stream. Okay, let's go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron. Man, oh my goodness gracious. First of all, how you doing? Pretty dumb question because I know you're doing great. Wow, man. Not only did they win the series, but to do it in that fashion, my friend. Wow.
Yeah, I'm doing great. Great to be here. And what the hell do I know? I mean, I'm thinking Wolves in seven. I thought I was out on a limb there. But, you know, last time we talked to you guys about 10 days ago, it was doom and gloom. We got the worst draw of the playoffs. And, you know, how does the seeding work in a tied situation and all this stuff? And turns out, you know, we thought, you know, we talked throughout the show a little bit. And we're like, okay, we'll give Finch some time to work on it and see what we can do. You know, we tried to not be doom and gloom. We tried to be a little bit more upbeat about it. But, the regular season record wasn't very encouraging against the Suns. But, you know, the way these guys came out, you know, we'll touch on game one here quick. It's like, you know, that was their set the tone, right? We had to set the tone there. And I think all of us a little shocked they came out in game one. And the way they won is pretty convincing. We thought, okay, that's game one. Ant had a great game. And we kind of saw how the series was going to progress, although we didn't know it because it was game one. But, You know, we saw the adjustments that were made, and really just defensively, this team, you know, turned into a juggernaut defensively. And we talked a little off air about defense, Chris. It's just, you know, it's not some, you know, I think I remember in the 90s, either the Bulls were saying it or maybe it was a different squad, but they were talking about how you can't just flip a switch, you know, when playoff time comes, and you have to be able to have nuances of your defense dealt with. And I think that's kind of what happened to the Suns. You can't just, you know, play lackluster defense all year and then expect to play great defense. When you play great defense all season, when the time playoff time hits, it's smoother. It's like butter. You know, you're ready to go. You understand things. You're nuanced in your defense. And I think that really what started to show. Now you pick up the intensity, and that's how you get a game like Game 1, Chris, and the games that followed. But, you know, who was I to think? I mean, I don't think any of us sat there at the beginning of the series and thought we'd come out with a sweep. I didn't even hear anybody say five. I heard maybe a few people say Wolves in six, and I thought, you know, they were off their rocker. But, man, first series sweep in Minnesota sports history, that says a lot. It just says a lot in that one sentence.
Yeah, it took 60 series between everybody, even the Lakers back in the day, the Minneapolis Lakers, but. Yeah, man. I mean, last year was trying to figure out the strengths of Rudy. What can he do different than what he did just doing the drop defense in Utah for all those years, which he's still doing it to an extent. But it was kind of a blending 2 years ago when we had that just very aggressive defense, kind of comboing it up. What can we do? We forced them on the perimeter a bunch last year. And there was a lot to figure out both offensively and defensively. We're just now really starting to figure it out offensively. But last year, in many ways, needed to happen, even though it was a little bit of a disappointing thing because, you know, we didn't have a full team, you know, especially in the series. We'll get to that, too, that Denver series. You know, a lot of people kind of forget that we were shorthanded in that series. But, yeah, man, I mean, I saw more people saying, you know, a sweep on the other side, you know, like just based off those three games during the regular season. And we were just talking before we hit record. Now, would I have liked to got the second seed and beat the Suns and then, you know, round it off in game five coming up here tomorrow? Yeah, of course. Get the home court in the second round. But a sweep is a sweep is a sweep, man. And that first game, you know, I liked the way they played early on. It was like, all right, just stay with them, dude. We can't get our doors blown off. We just can't do it because we'll lose our confidence. You'll have Cat and Ant maybe try to force stuff, and then the turnovers will come, and we'll get them easy buckets. And as it turned out, it was actually a really tough matchup for them, not as tough for us. Now, we did have to – certain players had to sacrifice – we had to focus on certain things to be able to play big. But in that game one, came out really solid, you know, stayed right with them, had a little bit of a lead. It was like, okay, we're in good shape. I think it was Beal or Booker hit a shot right at the end of the first quarter to get the little lead. But it was fun to find, especially game one and game four, it was really fun to see both at and in Cat do good in a game offensively at the same, or, you know, in the same game, but at different times. And, man, if we could tap into that in the future, that's huge because, you know, Ant had a weird game. He had, like, four turnovers in the first quarter. I think he was up to, like, five at half. He got, like, his third foul. He usually doesn't foul a bunch. Got his third foul with, like, 3 minutes left in the second quarter, if I remember correctly. I remember his hands on his head, like, walking to the sidelines, like, really pissed. And I was like, all right, he'll come back in the second half. He'll be just fine. And, you know, that's where Cat was kind of had it cooking. They were posting him up. We talked about that, Aaron, that the post was going to be big because no matter who, even if long-ass Durant, it was going to be a size matchup there. And Cat had like 13 or something like that in the first half. And he had a really – I think he was up to 19 all the way up until a couple minutes into the third. He picked up His second foul, like in the seventh-something minute mark, then one in the fourth minute, then one in the third minute of the third quarter. And so that gave him four. So we had to sit him there. I thought two out of the three were pretty funky. You know, I was like, really, dude? But I thought it was good to sit him there. And the third quarter, Anthony Edwards goes for 18 points, goes off. I think when Cat went to the bench, we were up by 10. The lead extended after that, kind of went small ball on him. And whether Ant was scoring or assisting, Alexander Walker hitting threes, Nas hitting threes, just everybody doing their thing. I think only Conley maybe had like a bad game the first game. That was about it. But that game, it was a 20-point game by the end of the third. You're like, wow, dude, that was impressive. Like, Jesus. And, you know, the Suns came out early in that third and looked pretty good. It was like, oh, here they come. All right, let's see. And obviously that was a key for this series through three games, plus 34 in the third quarter. And we've been a hell of a third quarter team all year, and that really played a big part. But, you know, down the stretch, you know, we got the job done. The game was pretty much over at the end of the third, and they were able to keep them off by hitting some big shots. Alexander Walker going nuts. It was fun. So, yeah, like you said, game one. Game two, you know, Ant didn't really have his shot going, started being more of a playmaker. Cat got those two fouls pretty quick in the first, and then got the third foul. And it was like, oh, my God. And I'm not saying those were all bad calls on that one, I'll say. One of them was very obvious. One of them you could probably say was a foul. One of them maybe you could say it wasn't, but whatever. You had to sit the whole second quarter. So, you know, at half, you're like, man, this game's tight. And neither Ant or Cat are really doing much. But Conley, Rudy, and then, of course, Jaden, 25 points. And you saw, like I said, Ant getting off the ball early when the double came, Cat when he played too. But really, that game, Mike, Jaden, and Rudy, man. I mean, now I got to end one late. You know, other players did stuff, but 25 points, hitting threes, just blowing them out of the water there for a good chunk of that game. Rudy, 6-7 from free. I mean, the free throws, Rudy had, you know, through three games, just nuts. But, yeah, I'd say Conley went off when we really need him. That two-man game, Aaron, between Mike and Rudy that we can always go to. And then Jaden had the game of his life. I mean, that was the key to game two right there. When you didn't, you know, Cat had little moments in the third. He was part of that when we buried him in the third again. But overall, I think he didn't have a lot of points. Neither him or Ant did. But they still stuck with it and played good in spots and kind of let the team death take over. But yeah, I think Mike, Jaden, and Rudy, big time in that game too.
Right. And, you know, a lot of talk now about Ant trusting his teammates. I mean, that's where he proved it, right? In game two, where he wasn't necessarily shooting well. They just defensively kind of took him out of it. And throughout the course of the series, but particularly in one and two, you know, the Suns were trying to find something. And I think they tried, okay, let's take Ant out in game two. And then Jaden popped up, and then Mike popped up, and then Cat a little bit, and Nah coming off the bench. It's just so many more people. They kind of had to scrap to just get rid of Ant thing because there's so much more there. The game, two-man game with Mike and Rudy was something else. And even Jaden getting involved in that a little bit, defensively still consistent. Really just, if you're the Suns coach or just the Suns in general, at this point, are you throwing up your hands or you're saying, okay, well, we tried this and we've tried that in this series of two games on the road for them. And really not much success at all trying to stop this team. Now, I know there's a size difference and everyone wants to say big ball, small ball, but Durant's a different kind of small ball. We talked a little bit about that last show.
Yep.
And it just didn't seem to have we thought our matchup problems were bad going into the series, kind of flipped that on its head, and they really couldn't match up regardless of what they did, and that carried on through three and four, and I'm sure we're going to get into that. There just wasn't an answer. you could either get Cat in the first half going off, keeping us in the game or pulling us out to a lead, and then not coming off the bench and just being, I mean, I player of the series, if you want to take Ant out of it and just say, this kid, man, I've never been more impressed with this guy's big shots, you know, three pointers. You hit him in the corner, bam, three automatic. I won't say automatic, but damn close to it, man. Really impressive, six going. And then Nas doing what he does. You're seven deep. All can score. It's really tough to match up, especially when we got the size advantage like that and we're moving the ball the way we were. I mean, it's just tough. You know, KD, Booker, those guys, you know, give them their due. But they just couldn't hang. And I think they kind of figured that out, Chris, at the end of game two. It was like, damn, this is something else, you know. And then, you know, you bring in Anthony Edwards on a good night, and it's a blowout, Chris. They just couldn't hang. And they gave it their best in four. But I don't know, man. I mean, what we thought going into the series is so much different than what we think now, at least me personally. I'll speak for myself.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But, you know, now it's like sky's the limit. But, you know, we'll get into talking about Denver because we assume it's going to be Denver. You know, I'd love to see the Lakers and their old asses coming. But, you know, game two really was the game, I thought, you know, to really set the tone of where it's at. Okay, we won both our home games. This is how we did it. You threw the kitchen sink at us throughout the course of two games. We adjusted well. Defense didn't falter. Offense still strong. You can take Ant out. He's got other guys to deal with that can do his bidding for him, and he can make plays. So now what do? You know, defensively. And plus, you don't have great defensive players to begin with as the Suns. So very tough spot for them. I thought, you know, going to game three, hitting the road, Chris, okay, that's where the real test comes in the playoffs, you know. And then they come out in game three, and you can go ahead and illustrate on it, but it was much of the same. I mean, this team just came out and was consistent in offensively and defensively. A little bit different look, a little bit different guys showing up big time in it. But, you know, nonetheless, same result. You know, hard defense, moving the ball, good decisions, very few turnovers, just good basketball.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, they were featuring that post up to get, we talked about, you know, we got to get him in the post, got to get him the ball in the post. And they took it away game two. They were really like, now we're fronting him. We're not going to let him do that because he's either going to get fouled, get an N1 or, you know, positive thing. And even if you miss a shot, Rudy's there or he's there because these guys are just undersized. And they kind of went right back to it game three. And this was kind of like, You had Cat in and I think 22 out of the 32 points or whatever it was, you know, had something to do with Ant or Cat. But here's the crazy part, right? Got off to a good start. It was like 15-7 start. Got in my notes here. But they were getting to the line. They were being aggressive. We were fouling too much. Rudy, Cat, Ant, Nas. And then Jaden at the end all had two fouls in that first quarter. It was like, dude, it was 15-4 on the free throw line, right? But the crazy thing is, dude, they still weren't up. They still weren't up. It was 34-32, and they got to the line 15 times. And that's got to be just heartbreaking for them. Like, what more can we do here? We're getting to the rack. Usually when you get to the rack 15 times, or to the free throw line 15 times in a quarter, you're winning that quarter, dude, by a fair amount. Especially with all those, well, someone had to get the falls, right? There's 15, but we had basically our whole damn starting lineup had two falls, and Nas coming up the bench. Not Conley, that's about it. But, you know, they were, another thing is, we know Rudy can rebound, we know Cat can rebound, but it was like Cat had to focus in, and we'll kind of go player by player after we wrap it up. But, you know, I thought Cat really rebounded the well. Defensive rebounding. He wasn't getting, neither big was getting, and Nas too, was getting those three guys. We said they had to be big and they couldn't get exploited by guards, and they didn't. They really didn't. And then more of that two man game with Conley and Rudy, kind of doing their thing in the second quarter. Conley hit a, I think Conley and Ant kind of closed really strong in that second quarter, up 59-53. Jaden kind of had a, you know, kind of had a foul problem issue in that third game. Jaden had four fouls really early in the third. Conley hit a three, Cat hit a three. You know, it's 69-58. Suns call a timeout. Back-to-back threes by Alexander Walker. And then he had that great pass where he's dribbling underneath the rim, passes it to Rudy for a dunk. Midway through the third, dude, it's 75-60. And you're thinking, dude, holy shit, man, this third quarter is legit. I remember in that third quarter, I think Cat was already up to 17 points. The score was 78-64. He picked up the fourth foul. Kind of looked like he pushed off in that one. Or kind of looked like KD, I should say, pushed off. But, you know, it is what it is. They kind of went small on us. And Walker, I mean, dude, when I think Walker hit all four of his threes in that third quarter. Nas hit a three in that third quarter. I mean, it was at the, you know, at basically near the end, 95-73, with like a minute left in the third. The Suns, you know, did a little bit of cutting into the lead. I think they had a, let me check my notes, 16-7 run, but the Wolves held them off. And this was like the opposite of what those games were during the regular season. You had the Suns, Aaron, 20 turnovers, which led to 31 fast break points, dude. And obviously we don't get a ton of fast break points just because, you know, our team and how it is. And we didn't give up a lot of fast break points like we did 2 years ago, which says a lot when you got two big dudes, which they're not the quickest of foot. But, yeah, I mean, it blew me away that we were still able to have the lead, although they were on the line 15 times in one quarter, dude. We just, another thing is we didn't freak out at the refs, dude. We weren't freaking out at the refs, and that was a huge, huge step.
Yeah, that's been consistent, I think, throughout those four games as they just put their head down and kept playing. Every once in a while, see Ant kind of put his arms out, but that, you know, that's right. Kind of standard for him.
Yeah, that's
no big deal. But another thing about game three, Chris, that I forgot about was when you mentioned McDaniels, it brought it to my mind, was that's when he's really started getting Booker's head, you know. Even though he had the foul.
That's right, there was some feistiness, yep.
There's a little feistiness with the exchange of a ball one time. And Booker was really just getting, you know, he just couldn't get him, couldn't break him. McDaniel's just solid defensively. Now, we get into game four, Booker had a hell of a game. But maybe too little, too late at that point. Really just bottled him up those first three games. Huge plays defensively from Jade McDaniels, and still managed to even, you know, a lot of nights, Chris, you're going to get either offense or defense from Jaden. And I think maybe throughout maybe game two and three, you kind of got both. You know, you got whatever time he had in three with the fouls, you still got some offense from him. And two, you got a bunch of offense from him, or maybe kind of mixed up. I don't remember which one he had. 18.
Yeah, I mean, he had 18 in the last game, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're kind of getting both now. And you start to think, well, you know, if you can get that out of Jaden on a nightly basis, playoff wise, and then, you know, Mike doing what he's doing, just being a floor leader, you know, getting the ball where it's got to go. You know, Nas is going to pop off in these playoffs sooner or later. You know, that's going to happen. He usually has pretty good games against Denver. If that's who we see, and we still haven't had a really bad shooting night. I think the closest thing we've had to that was probably last night.
Yeah, for a while it was horrible.
And like I said, that's where your defense comes and keeps you in the ball game, and you just have offensive. And I think the world's waking up to this team about, you know, a lot of offensive options, young bodies, tenacious defense. Sorry, that's a pun, I guess, on Tenacious D, but I didn't think about that until I said it. But just really, you know, impressive. Now, you know, I don't really see this team, Chris, before we get into, like, really breaking down game four. But and even at this point, I know Ant did the old whatever dance at the end. I thought, well, maybe don't do that, you know, until you close out a series, you know. But I was going to say, I really don't think that – you know, this team's going to get ahead of themselves because I don't think Ant's going to let him. Now, I could be wrong. You know, I mean, he's still young. You know, he's got a ways to go. He's very close. But You know, maybe he learns not to do that until you close out a series, but I really thought that might come back to get him. But, you know, I thought the series was kind of over after game three. It's just, but they're crying, you know, so maybe the Suns take game four and then you come back home and you, maybe they win one at home, but, you know, sooner or later after you go up 3-0, it's kind of inevitable. So I wasn't going out too much on a limb for that, but man.
Yeah, even Minnesota sports can mess up 0-151.
Well, knock on wood.
Really? Do I have wood around me? Okay, that's good. Yeah, I'll knock just, double wood there.
We've learned not to make these kind of pronouncements here in Minnesota, but.
I guess yeah. I haven't learned.
Right. Game four, Chris. Kind of antsy. I was watching like, you know, can we close? Can we close out a game? Are we closers? You know, we have perfect opportunity here. Came out sluggish. Ended up being down at the half. I think Cat really kept him in the game first half. Hit some big threes. I think he had 17. The rest of the team had 8 or something at some point there. But yeah, I mean, Cat, his role, what can you say about Cat right now? I know we'll get into, like you said, individually players, but you know, it just seems like the first half kind of belongs to Cat. And then, you know, for whatever reason, Anthony doesn't wake up till halftime, but you know, and
well,
then
he's not forcing it. He's not forcing it.
Right. And he's, you know, you got to think what they're doing defensively too. He's getting doubled and all kinds of exotic things. They're trying to find something. Pretty soon they'll do Boeheim's defense to try to get him up.
Get a 2-3 zone on him.
Yeah. Just anything, you know?
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, you know, you gave up some stuff, but I was really impressed coming down the stretch in game four. You know, biting the nails a little bit last 2 minutes.
Yeah,
but we had
it was a good game. It was a fun game. Like 23 lead changes or something like that. It was a good game.
Up 6, up 5, you know, up 4, free throws. Make your free throws. I mean, hell of a game, and what a way to close it out. It wasn't fluky by any stretch of the imagination.
That's a good way to do it. And I just kind of up 3-0, I kind of made a little chart even before we dig so deep into it for game, you know, last night's game. But, you know, Ant just kind of going, you know, player by player. Ant game one, 18 points in the third, 33 on the night. Game three, fourth quarter, 18 points, several free throws, just driving intensely. 11 of 11 from the free throw line. Rudy. I mean, those first three games, dude, from the free throw line. Now, this is not an error, okay? In three games, 19 of 22 from the free throw line. Okay, he had 39 rebounds in three games. 16 of 22 from the field. So think about that. 19 and 16. 22 shots apiece, field goal and free throw. It's crazy. And then, like you said, Cat. They said, hey, dude, we need you. This is going to be tough, dude. Durant, just try to contain Durant, you know? Like, first game, Durant had a good game. Second game, he did. Third game, kind of in between, not really great. And then fourth game, he went off. But it was just like, be solid on defense. And I think, and he definitely was. And also the rebounding. I mean, him and Rudy and Nas, but him and Rudy were just like, hey, dude, you know, we're getting these damn rebounds, dude. And I really like that he was able to take different roles, and then when it's my time to score, I'm going to score. When it's my time to just play good defense, rebound, did he have foul problems? Sure. Were some of them his fault? Definitely. No doubt. The third foul he had in that first quarter, that was bad when that made him, you know, three fouls. Like you said about Alexander Walker, I mean, this fucking guy, he just, I mean, averaging almost 14 or 15 points in the series. Game one, game three, just going off. Jaden, like you said, 25 points in that one game, but just overall just doing his thing. Nas having these little spurts, you know. Like you said, still hasn't gone off. By the way, he did win Sixth Man of the Year. Conley, poor first game, but games two and game three, just clutch. You know, that two-man game, like you mentioned, that was freaking huge. It was nice to see Slow-Mo come back because we do need him, especially in this next series. And even Morris would have these little spot minutes, get an extra guard out there. But, yeah, the biggest number, like I mentioned, plus 34 in that third quarter, man. I mean, that is that's just something right there. But yeah, heading into the fourth, you know, Rudy had a rough game for falls. Him and Nurkic both had two falls really early. Jaden had a quick little spurt of 8 points. Man, we couldn't shoot in that first really half, but especially that first quarter. I think it was 6 or 7 misses in a row. 1 of 8 in the first quarter from three. But yet, you know, Suns are only up 26-25. You know, we're getting to the line at least. Deal picks up, you know, some early fouls. I think he had 3 already in the second. The Suns are shooting 63%. We're shooting 36. But midway through the second, it's 37-37. Durant and Booker are cooking, no doubt about it. There was a moment there, Aaron, where we're 1 of 11 from 3, but 16 of 17 from free throws. Rudy and Nas had both 3 falls at halftime, you know. Like you said, Cat got us going. He had 15 at half. I'm looking at it right now, 3 for 3 from 3. Dude, we were 4 of 18 from 3. And you know, the only guy who could hit him right at the time anyway was Cat. And it was 61-56. We missed a ton of corner threes. And I think there was like an 8-0 spurt from the Suns. They get up, and you're like, all right, dude, they're doing their thing. But then third quarter, Rudy has to sit down again. It's very Cat-like. You're just like, oh, dude. And the foul was very like, oh, really, dude? Okay, sure, that's a foul. But they shut Rudy down early. It was like, oh, man, but Cat got it cooking. You know, it seemed like there was a couple more times where he was open for three, and they definitely could have passed it to him, whoever had the ball at the time. Because we were just screaming, get it to Cat right now, get it to Cat. And there was a moment there where Cat got an offensive rebound. I think we had 17 of them in the game. Kicked it over to Ant in the corner. He drains a three. I think he just hit some free throws, too. And it was like, okay, this is when Ant's going to go. Jaden picked up a late fourth foul, kind of a silly fall. But it's 92-90 going into the fourth quarter, man. And like you said, I was like, all right, dude. You know, Beal, you know, picked up an early foul. And at the 9-minute mark, dude, it's 99-95. They're starting to get their groove back. And within like a minute of game time, it felt like, next thing you know, it's 102-99. You know, you're just like, wow, dude. And we just got a little hot. We got it to 119-113. Ant's going off. You know, had a rough first half. 31 in the second half. Like I said, 17 offensive rebounds. And those two plays that bookended on basically the same possession, in a sense, defensively, that defensive rotation of like 6 guys that ended in Alexander Walker steal, Ant gets the ball. And it was crazy because he was passing so well that they started not playing 2 guys on him. And it was like, all right, dude, good luck with that, man. You're going to go one-on-one with Ant? Okay. And on that play, he walks it up. You know, kind of looks at it like, you just got Bradley Beal in front of me, that's it. Okay, later. And Durant just got the F out of the way. He just nasty dunked on him. Pretty much at that point, Aaron, you knew it was a wrap. You know, even though we had some stupid fouls down the stretch, you could tell we never closed out a series, right, with this team. But, man, you got it. On one hand, you're like, nobody fouled, dude, stop fouling. On the other hand, though, you still had Ant trying to, like, block a shot, you know, so you gotta love it too, you know.
Yeah, very intense. Like I said, I kind of just stayed glued to him, like trying to figure out what's going on. You're right, you know, you're just like, don't foul, oh, there's a foul, you know. And they tagged Rudy early, like you said, that sequence we talked about a little bit off air, just beautiful sequence offensively and defensively. I think the Suns, probably their best sequence of the series, offensively, moved the ball well, but then the defense rotation was there every time for a span of time, and you're like, okay, this is basketball. This is really nice. Capped off with a steal, you know, by Alexander Walker, and then dunked by Edwards. In that, like you said, at that point, you're like, that's the exclamation point. It's not the big dunk at the end where the score's at, but you're like, okay, that's imposing your will. That's it. And like you said, then Edwards comes down, sees Beal, like, okay. You know, and a big dunk. And if I'm Durant, I'm getting out of the way too. But
oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, like you said, a little growing pains at the end, which I thought was a little, but I thought for the most part, Chris, considering the officials, the history, I mean, this team, it's another great advantage. I mean, they haven't had whistles for a decade, so they're not worried about in the playoffs. You know what I mean? It's like, they could play with weird whistles, bad whistles. They got enough, experience with that where I really don't think if they keep their heads in the right place, which is, you know, sometimes with Kat and even Ant, and Rudy, that's a question mark, but, so far so good as far as that's concerned and play through it. There's really nothing you can do. It's out of your control. And that's what they did, but you know, coming down the stretch, you got to make those free throws and you got to not foul, but you know, that's something they'll learn. But I just thought as convincing as it gets, you know, Durant had some really nice things to say about Ant, after the series, and probably during as well. Really is something special to watch this guy mature. And, you know, we thought maybe he's a year away from this, but, we were wrong. At least I was wrong. I thought, you know, I thought there would be something playoff time, but you know, Chris, if you think back the last two seasons playoff wise, he has stepped it up. It's been misguided at times. It was, heavy handed 1 year. But this year's kind of balanced, a lot more focused defensively. And, this team defensively is just, you know, throughout the course of this season and the 2 years with Finch, it's on a different level. And then the bodies and the length, you know, you've got the personnel to go with the defense. It's really coming together. We're going to have a test here coming up. Like you said, we're going to assume it's Denver. Now, throughout the regular season, I thought we played them really well. We played them well in the playoffs last year. When Rudy was about 85% of what he is now. Some matchup problems. We talked a little off air about it. We'll get into that. We start to get the series off in Denver. That's another, you know, thing. Can you bring the juice there? But we did say, you know, defense travels if you can do that. Different matchup. And like I said, the 17 offensive rebounds, that's probably not going to happen against this squad. If you have anything more to say, game, I don't want to, you know, cut you off, but I'm just thinking, you know, when you get to Denver, it's going to be a different animal just because of, you know, different players and defending champs and on the road. It's going to be a real test.
Yeah, definitely. And just so far, you know, if you look at it's just a really spread offense right now. Ant for that series had 31 points a game, averaged 6.3 assists. Only had really like two out of the four games were a little high turnovers, but still was doing his thing. Towns was 19.3. And he only played 28 minutes on average. Rudy, 15 points, 11 boards. McDaniels, 14. Alexander Walker, 12. Conley, almost 12. And Nas, who really hasn't gone all the way off, like you said, is just under 10 points. So, I mean, that is a really spread, you know, team. And if you look at the field goal percentage, Edwards, 51. Towns, 53. Rudy, 61. McDaniels, 50. Alexander Walker, a little bit low. Nas, you know, a little low for him. Kyle Anderson just got in there a little bit, shooting pretty good. But, yeah, you're right. This is going to be a little bit, you know, interesting. I think they're up to 35 and 13 now with that starting five. Because, you know, Towns missed some time. Conley would miss a game here and there, you know. Rudy missed a little bit of time. So, but as a starting unit, I think it's either 34 and 13 or 35 and 13 with that starting five. And then another thing is, you know, we're just trying to figure out what Finch is going to do. You know, are we going to be able to have him on the sidelines? I mean, that's kind of, you know, an interesting thing right there with Denver, though. Like I said earlier, you know, that series could be 2-2 without that Murray, you know, buzzer beater. Great shot, though, obviously. Not, you know, not ripping it or nothing like that. But, yeah, historically, man, defense does travel, like you said. I was just looking through the historical facts of great defensive teams, and it's just like, wow, man, you really do it. You can really advance here, you know? I'd say just right off the bat, do not let up in the first quarter. Oh, you had some great first quarter. Sweet, don't let up. Do not let up in the first quarter. Denver's had a little funkiness in the first half. The numbers are pretty wide, actually, in the first half with the Lakers. They've had a big advantage, and then the third quarter comes around midway, you know, by the end of the third, early fourth, Denver takes control. They're not, you know, as deep as us, obviously. Jokic, you know, you're only going to contain him. You know, you're not going to obviously slow him down. It's funny because if you get him in the 30s for points, but then he's not in the double digits for assists, you're better off. And this guy, at times, like he did this year against us, will hit. You know, he won't take threes, and all of a sudden it's like, well, this is what's open. I'm going to take a three, and he'll hit it. You know, knock him down. You know, so. But it, you know, you'd rather him taking threes, you know, late in the game than anything else. But yeah, that Jokic matchup. The Murray and Jokic are their two, number one, number two guys, obviously Porter and Gordon and KCP, that's their starting lineup. But, you know, we have found something with the matchup. And once again, you wouldn't think on the surface, put Cat on Durant, right? Well, you wouldn't necessarily think, yeah, man, you got Rudy on your team? No, put Cat on him. Put Nas on him. Put Slomo on him. And have Rudy lurk. Because if you can let Gordon shoot from the outside, it'll cost you a game or two. I'm sure. He'll have a game where he knocks down shots or maybe he just is able to take Rudy off the dribble because of the lurking where he's kind of on him but not really on him, still protecting the rim. But, yeah, Cat has done really well against Jokic just as far as being a big body, using length. We have Nas. We have Slomo. So you have three guys. Even if you get in foul problems, you have three guys with Rudy lurking. And sometimes you do have to just go straight with Rudy on him. That might be the – you know, we may go small. And Nas, at times, Nas and Cat aren't on the floor. And Alexander Walker's in it. And maybe he would be the only big. So we've done a good job there. And, you know, like I said, make Gordon shoot on the outside. If he's, you know, I'll gladly try to, you know, have him win a game like that. It will be interesting, like you said, you know, with last year Cat in the series. First of all, in the series, we didn't have Nas off the bench. We didn't have McDaniels in the starting lineup because, you know, he thought he was punching a pad and it was the wall. And then, like you also mentioned, you know, there was a back issue that was clear as day for Rudy. Rudy's definitely a lot more mobile right now. And much like we said, who is the best defender, who are they going to put, you know, on Ant and all that? Well, last year they put Gordon on Cat. You know, how long can they get away with that? Because, you know, otherwise you have KCP, who's a damn good defender. But is Gordon going to be right on Ant from the jump? Because Gordon's their best defender. And if that's the case, then who's going to be on Cat? And that'll be interesting. But if not, Ant's going to cook. Because like I said, KCP can knock down shots. He's a damn good defender. But I just – they're definitely not going to put Murray on him. So – and then obviously for Murray, we have Jaden. And we have Alexander Walker. And if we push comes to shove, we have Ant. You know, Porter's there. Will they have Conley on Porter for a little bit? We've seen that this year. Maybe Ant will be there. Maybe Ant will be on KCP for a little bit, give him a little break. I don't know. It'll be interesting. But to have Jaden and to have Alexander Walker, and then if Porter gets going, to be able to put Jaden on him. I mean, Jokic and Murray makes that thing tick, man. And to have those type of – that type of depth, you know, we are probably, us and the Celtics are probably the best team build to go against Jokic in Denver. The returning champs, we got to remember.
Right, Chris. I'm glad that you brought up the fact that we didn't have Jaden for punching a wall and then Nas was all hurt, had a leg too. I forgot about that, and now I remember.
And we had a fight on the sidelines right before the playoffs, remember?
Yeah. Yeah, so we were shorthanded last year and still pushed them. And Ann had a great series, and I think that's what you're going to see again, because they really defensively, I'm going to stop now. Porter and Murray, you know, you deal with Jokic. First of all, is Jokic going to be, you know, the equivalent to Rudy? Is he going to be lurking to get Ant? And if so, can we draw fouls on him? That's a question. Because I think this is a downhill series for Ant. I thought maybe last series, a lot of shooting outside. I think he's going to go downhill towards the rim on this one. He has traditionally against Denver. But Porter and Murray, you know, Jaden's going to take one of those hot hand, I would assume. But I'll start off on somebody, probably Murray, because I think he's the other straw that stirs the drink outside of Jokic. Jokic, like, hey, we're going to have to deal with it. He's going to get his. He's going to have a game or two where he's a ridiculous player, but he might have a couple, balance out with a couple games where he's not so good. And, you know, judging from what we've seen history-wise against Denver, which you laid out really well, the matchups aren't a terrible nightmare. It's just, you know, do you know what Nas, you know, what is Nas going to bring to this series? You know, we don't know. We've seen what he did in the regular season. And then, you know, Alexander Walker, again, like I said, this, you don't know if he can hit shots, man. It's just a beautiful piece to this puzzle. And, you know, what do they do about that? Can their bench hang? They've got a nice bench in Denver, pretty good squad. Obviously defending champions, a good squad, but it'll be interesting to see how Jokic is playing defensively, if he's going to be on Cat or a lurker in the back, and they'll try to stop Cat. But, you know, who's going to take Edwards, you know, put Porter on him and get him in foul trouble? I mean, you're going to get foul troubles because I think Ant's heading to the rack in this one, like I said. And then defensively, look, I think we're the best defensive team. Maybe Boston is good, but I think we're a better defensive team than Boston.
Yes.
So I really think we're the best defensive team all around, and built for it beautifully, in this, left in the tournament. So I really think, you know, that's going to be, you got to bring that intensity. And I think you just live with your defense, particularly on the road. But also, you know, I got to say, the game where Porter went off, that's kind of sticking in the back of my head. I don't know about you, Chris, but
yeah,
he went off for what? I think 30, 50, it was 40 something. They've got to shore that up because he can get going, and then it's Murray, Porter. But if I remember correctly, Murray was out when Porter had that big game.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, so there's some touches going to Murray there. But, you know, Jokic is the thing. If he gets in that low post or even in the high elbow and he starts distributing and hitting shots, and Rudy can't do much about it, or if Rudy finds himself in foul trouble. I mean, really, Kat and Rudy, Chris, I really feel like are going to have to try to, I don't know, play foul-free defense, which is tough to do, you know, particularly against guys of your size or in a rotation like that. But we need them on the court this time because I think – it's going to be real hard to get Jokic off the court foul-wise.
Yeah, and we have had a little success with that. A little anyways, just like Sabonis, we've been able to do that. Like you said, keep your hands up. Try to use some body. The big thing is when he gets, you know, 6 to 8 feet away, when he gets the ball there, it's pretty much a wrap, dude. And you have to realize that, you know. It's really what you do before the ball comes to him. And if you keep him elbow in further, it helps so much. And there's going to be some times where you just got to get him the layup, dude. You can't, just like what you said about the fouls, you know, we can't be having these guys pick up quick fouls like that. Yeah, we got depth. That's cool. You're playing Jokic, so you're going to get fouled. But, yeah, if we can get him active on defense or trying to move around more and attacking him, maybe he will get fouls, like you said. There's some time that happens. But, yeah, I think that when he gets so close, just make it tough. You know, just like Cat, you know, in that first game, Durant had 30, but honestly, they were tough shots, man, and he made them. And that's cool. It's you know, be as make it as tough as you can, but when you get so close, dude, just don't get caught up in trying to block the shot. You know, just, I'm not saying just let him get a layup, but when he gets so close, dude, there's not much you can do, and he does get a ton of calls, and he can elbow his way to anything. He can push, shove, and do whatever he wants. Him and Embiid can do a whole lot, and a lot of bigs can't. So, yeah, it's really just, hey, man, sometimes you gotta give him that bucket, dude, and just live another play and stay in the game and that type of thing. And when you look at the regular season, there's a stat going around. Like you said, you know, we it was only five games, but we played them tough. Even Bruce Brown and others, Bruce Brown's obviously not there anymore, but they did say, like, that was the toughest matchup. Ant's a nightmare. They play tough D. They make you work for everything. And that is without, you know, no Nas, no Jaden and Rudy, not necessarily 100%. But there's a stack going back. And it's regular season. We get it. Just off of coming off the Suns' regular season games, right? I'm not trying to make any kind of bold thing off of this. We got beat in that series 4-1. Let's make that clear. But since December 2021, in the last 10 games, we are 7-3 against them. And, you know, two of those losses, one of them we didn't have Cat, the other one we'd have Cat, Rudy, and I believe Slo-Mo. We had to start Nas, and that's fine starting Nas for some time, but if you don't have the other stuff behind him, it gets a little tougher, obviously. So, you know, we can plan. We are definitely built for them, if you're going to be, you know. And like I said, Bruce Brown, they have good bench players that play freaking hard. They play defense. They want to run and gun. There's going to be times where they're going to score, and you just be like, all right, call a timeout. Finch or whoever's coaching, call a timeout. Let them, you know, they're going to go off, dude. It's no big deal. Just stay in the game and get it deeper in the game. But, I mean, you know, I think at least 6-7 games this series goes. Obviously, game six, if the Wolves would close it out, that'd be at home. The tickets for game three and game four, I think it's tomorrow. Or no, maybe Wednesday, May 1st. I think that's the day they go on sale. So we still don't know exactly when the series starts per se. But now here's the thing. If the Lakers win tonight, you know, then there's a good chance that if Denver, you know, closes them out, it'll probably be only a max 2-day break, you know, in there. So they're going to have to get to us way quicker. Whereas if, you know, if they win tonight, then, you know, maybe it'll start, I don't know, maybe it'll start Friday, maybe it'll start Saturday. Let's see, Monday. Maybe it would actually start Thursday. Because if it's Monday, yeah, maybe it would start Thursday. I'm not sure. But, I mean, this thing's going deep. I don't care what anybody says, right? This thing is going deep, Aaron. There's no doubt in my mind.
Offensively, Chris, I was thinking, you know, do you stretch these guys? You stretch and space them. Gives Anthony a chance to drive and dish. Also just take it to the rack. Also step out and shoot threes. Gives you, you know, I think offensively we're quicker than they are defensively. Gives Jaden time to do some stuff. As we said last series going in and last show going in, we want to, you know, get the ball in the post, have the post make decisions. I'm not necessarily sure it went that way, but just, you know, theoretically, I would think that you want to space, move the ball, and try to get driving lanes here against Denver. That was my thought, you know, initially going into the series. I think you're right, Chris. I'm thinking 7 here. I know I said 7 last time, but even more 7 here, just because you start out on the road. And
yeah, look, the key, man, is 1-1 coming home game 3, right?
Yeah, and you've got to give Jokic. I mean, you're not sweeping Jokic, dude. And you're not even, you know, it's a battle. If you're going to win this series, it's a test series. I mean, these are the champs. They've been through this. They're not going to just lay over, roll over for you. They can adjust. They're built for you just like you're built for them, built by the same guy.
Isn't that crazy? And,
yeah. I mean, this is a 7-game series. I think, you know, I'm Wolves in 7. I like where Ant's at right now. I like where his head's at. I like his young body. I think against these guys, his skill level and his teammates, man. I mean, Conley's a great point guard. for what he's asked to do.
I like where Cat's head is at right
exactly.
now. Knowing that, hey, man, I can't just be an offensive player. That's it.
He's just playing his role. Everybody knows their role and playing their role. Now, you get Slo-Mo back, and a lot, which is huge for this series, like you mentioned earlier, to make plays, and his role is to make plays, fill in what needs to be, go in there and do what needs to be done, basically. And he's great at that. A lot of complaining about him, but I really think this is his time to shine. Nas has a tendency to step up and break through here. And everybody's going to have to play their part here to beat these guys. That's, you know, I really doubt it goes any less than five and either way. So I think, you know, I think it's, if the Nuggets win, probably in six. If we win, it's going to take seven games, I think. And I really think we can do it. It's interesting though, because if you lose to Denver, you know, twice in a row, it really brings back the Jordan can't get over the Pistons type of thing. All these comparisons flying around. I don't know if I'm really quite ready there, having seen all of Jordan's career, just like you. 89 Jordan. I know KG said it, and I love KG, and he's been really great during this playoff run, man.
The 80s. You know, they're not talking about 96 or 93.
Right. You know, just pure dominance. But, yeah, man. It just, you know, the defense.
Well, MJ had to trust his teammates.
Yep. He had to learn that.
He had to talk him into it.
Yep. Kerr, Longley, these guys. And I think you got better cast members than Bill Wennington, Bill Cartwright, Kerr, you know, all good players. But, you know, I really think they hit their stride in that Rodman, Harper kind of thing. But, you know, B.J. Armstrong was a guy who wasn't a great offensive player, except for on that team. And I think that the supporting cast Ant has is different than Jordan had in 89, I'll say that. But, yeah, KG's been great putting out sodas and doing what he's doing. Talking with Paul Pierce, I think that's the greatest show ever. KG just gets hyped up, man. But, yeah, back to the series. Yeah, I don't know where you are, Chris. I don't know if you're thinking six Wolves or seven Denver.
I think it's – I feel like it's seven either way.
Either way.
Yeah, I mean, if we're really – like, if it's 1-1, then I could see maybe the Wolves closing out at home game six, you know, if it's 1-1. But I have it circled Wolves in seven.
Yeah, I'm just really like – is my basketball meter off because I did not see a sweep of the Suns, and I'm like, okay, well, do I need to recalibrate here with this squad?
Right,
and
I know, you know,
it's just fuzzy to me. Like, what can you expect? Because if they go out and they play, you know, the kind of exceptional basketball that they played in moments against the Suns. Now I know it's a different matchup, but if they're playing like that, I just don't really see anybody beating them. And
well,
that's
we're not
the
afraid
thing.
Of the squad either.
No,
not afraid of the squad.
They pumped us up last year. They know who we are. We know who they are. I like the one through nine of us. I like it better than their 1-9. Problem is they got Jokic, and that's
yeah. Would I rather this be the conference finals? Sure, you know.
Sure,
but
yeah.
It is what it is. I mean, yeah. We talked about the confidence we come out of that Suns. Well, if we somehow come out of this one,
yeah.
I mean, we're getting to the finals.
Oh, of course. I think you're right. I think this is the plan of the finals. And, you know, everybody says, well, we get to the finals. Over. No, Boston's really good. And, you know, we went toe-to-toe with them all season, but let's not get the cart in front of the horse. Nonetheless,
right. Yeah, I love Wolves. Just like Denver, you know, the last couple of years, they built to that, kept their core together, made the right moves, then they were healthy and made a run.
Yeah, and long story short, Wolves are Denver in seven. Let's say that Denver wins in seven. That is a great stepping stone. And
yeah, that's
good,
nothing to be ashamed of.
Yep, and a good, you know, motivation for Ant the following season. So, and all people lose their minds, and I know they will. It's Minnesota. But it's, you know, like we've been stressing since episode one of this season. This is a process. And,
right.
You know, man, they're playing well. They just had a great best series of any sport team in the history of Minnesota sports. let's let that sit and go up against the defending champs and give them all they got and give them all they want. And I really think, man, I'm Wolves in seven on this. I really, you know, we'll probably be, let's do an on-air production meeting. I don't know when we're going to be doing the next show, but if we're up or tied with these guys, probably next Monday, yep. If we're up or tied, you know, at that point, a 1-1 in the series, I mean, that's as good as it, you know, as good as it can get. And, obviously, you know, it's probably going to go back and forth like that, Chris. Don't you think it's going to be, you know,
yeah.
Adjusting, next team wins. Adjusting.
That could be 1-1, they win game 3. We have to win game 4. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think
anybody gets up 3-0 or, you know, I just don't see that. You know, it's going to be tooth and nail. They're going to scratch this one out. I really think so.
Yeah, I agree. And just going back to that, reiterating, the goal this season was to stay out of the play-in and try to get a home court for the first round. And then get out of the first round. That was the goal, okay? So now here we are going against, you know, the world champs from last year. Let's see how it goes. This is an important step. You know, just because we're not in the conference final losing to Denver, let's say, that's really not going to matter, man. That's not really going to matter, especially if they obviously go on to go to the finals again, you know? It's a stage thing. I'm not going to look to, I mean, yeah, if we got swept, it'd be embarrassing, whatever. But other than that, it's like, you don't want to overthink this stuff. This is what it's all about, man. You got to take your lumps and then learn from it and come back strong. And that's exactly what we did. So, real quick, Gopher basketball. They lost Hawkins, right? And the point guard, right? And
yeah, I saw this, Chris. Quickly, we thought, oh, he can keep it together at the end of the, and it's just, it imploded.
Well, it didn't implode altogether, but the thing that pisses me off, do your thing, man. Hawkins, do your thing, but don't announce you're coming back and then 10 days later change your mind. Do your thing, young man. Get your money. No problem at all. Just go. Don't say you're staying. Take pictures. He did two different posts, did the athletic thing, and then you're going to leave. That, I got a problem with that because it's like, dude, just make your decision. Calm down on your decision then and don't announce anything. But to announce you're coming back, then 10 days later go back on it, I do have a problem with that. And obviously he was one leg in, one leg out. And like I said, get your money, young man. No problem with you leaving. But please don't do it that way, man. Don't announce you're coming back and then change your mind. I think that's pretty ridiculous. But other than that, I don't call that imploding. They got their best player back. The pain thing hurt. But that one burned me only because you said you're staying, dude. You announced it. You made posts and all that. Not a big fan of that one. Any thoughts on that? Otherwise, you can get us out of here, sir.
Yeah, by imploding, I just mean like really two great players for the future of that program. Like you said, pain hurt, and I think Hawkins hurts just as much. Whether, you know, and how he did it, you're right. Not the best way to do it, but like you're right, man. Get your money. That's where we're at today, and can't fault him for that.
Go for a point guard. Had been known, maybe we could have got one in these 10 days.
Replace the big. I don't think it's the same kind of potential type of thing that you had with Payne, but, you know, at least you got the body there, which isn't a terrible thing. But, yeah, it's tough for Ben, man. These new days, I mean, and I don't think it would have been any different with Patino. You know, I think NIL is NIL. And remember, support Dinkytown athletes as much as you can. $10, $5, $100,000, whatever you got, whatever you can spend. Do that. Get this podcast anywhere. See you. Get your podcasts. Easy for me to say. Spotify, check out Rope-A-Dope Radio. Great shows on there. Wolves stunned us with a series sweep. Man, I just didn't know what that felt like until this moment yesterday. Kind of just a shocking thing that can actually be done. And let's hope We get Denver. I mean, maybe we want to get the Lakers, but I really think Denver will pull this one out, and we'll get back to you. I think maybe after game two on Monday, we'll try to see what we can do. Until then, enjoy Minnesota sports.